Today we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 24. If you turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 24, and we'll be reading verses 13 through 35. That same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. As they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things, Jesus suddenly himself came and began walking with them. But God kept them from recognizing him. You remember, this is immediately after his death and resurrection. And he asked them, "What are you discussing so intently as you walk along?" They stopped short, sadness written across their faces. Then one of them, Cleopas, replied, "You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened there the last few days." "What things?" Jesus asked. "The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth," they said. "He was a prophet who did powerful miracles, and he was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. But our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 days ago." Then some women from our group of his followers, were at this tomb early this morning, and they came back with an amazing report. They said his body was missing, and they had seen angels who told them Jesus is alive. Some of our men ran out to see, and sure enough, his body was gone, just as the women had said. Then Jesus said to them, "You foolish people, you find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory?" Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself. By this time, they were nearing Emmaus and the end of their journey. Jesus acted as if he were going on, but they begged him, "Stay the night with us since it's getting late." So he went home with them. As they sat down to eat, he took the bread and he blessed it. Then he broke it and he gave it to them. Suddenly, their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And at that moment, he disappeared. They said to each other, "Didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us?" And within the hour, they were on their way back to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 disciples and the others who had gathered with them, who said, "The Lord has really risen. He appeared to Peter." Then the two from Emmaus told their story of how Jesus had appeared to them as they were walking along the road and how they had recognized him as he was breaking. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word and be with Brian as he brings it to us today.
Brian, thank you. Good morning. So if I could, can I just pray for our message today? Father, I thank you that you are good, that you are powerful, and that you are all-encompassing. And Lord, I pray that this message would not come from me, that it would come from you. And that everything that I say, the things that are of you would stay, and the things that are not of you would fall far away. Lord, you are great, you are good, you are wonderful, you are the one that has changed not only my life, but the lives of many people that are here. And we ask that you would touch our hearts again through this message. Amen. So many of you know what happened this past week in Boston. It was kind of hard for Sandy and I. We were told by my daughter Sarah what a horrible time to pick for vacation. We had gone down to Myrtle Beach. Sandy's brother has a place there. And we were just starting to get into a vacation. And all of a sudden we heard about what happened at the marathon. You need to understand something about the marathon. How many people here have ever been to the marathon? A few? Okay, so those that aren't here or haven't been there, you need to understand that this is a 26-mile route. And along that route, there are hundreds and thousands of people that are just on that route. And what they're doing is they're cheering people on. They're having people to be able to say, "You can do it," that you're going to be able to make it. And the runners themselves, they give them water, they give them food, whatever, to be able to make it to that finish line. And as I was thinking about this, I was thinking about how like the kingdom of God is that. If you were to take what our lives are in the kingdom of God. Because what happens is that we are in that race. It is not a race to see who's first. It is a race to see who's going to finish. And who's going to finish and who's going to finish well. These people, as they're going there, they have all sorts of trials. There's a place called Heartbreak Hill that makes it really hard to be able to keep on going. But there's encouragement that's being shouted from the sides. That's what it is for the Christian life. You have brothers and sisters in Christ that are constantly praying for you, cheering you on, wanting the best that's going to happen for you. God wants you to be able to have that ultimate triumph of seeing Him face to face and to be able to know that He was the one who did it. So He uses you to be able to work in the lives of other people. When we talk about the gospel, we talk about how it's built on relationships. And those relationships are solid and pure when it's the Holy Spirit. So as we look at this passage, and I'd invite you to open up the Bible to Luke chapter 24, and just help as we go through this, have an understanding of what we're trying to look at. But first, I wanted to say one other thing before I get into the passage. And that is the fact that I am so proud and so delighted to be supported by this church. It was 30 years ago that I actually was with Jesse, I was actually Barb, Phyllis, Bryce, and as we sat there, they were saying that this was your time to go into ministry, and we said that this might be the thing that God would want us to do. And I remember Brian's father, Jack, and as we sat there and we were trying to figure out what is the next steps, Jack didn't say anything. And so I said, well, Jack, what do you think? And he said to me, he goes, you know, Brian, it's really one of the best moments of my life to be able to see someone from our fellowship go into missions. That was one of the most precious times in my life, and I'll never forget that. Each and every year that I've been in ministry, I have felt I have been representing you. I have felt that you are part of everything that I do. And so that makes me feel encouraged, supported, prayed for. That's what the Lord does in our relationship. And that's how I've been able to feel. So I just wanted to acknowledge that God has been faithful over those 30 years. Of course, He put me into ministry when I was only 5, but that's okay. It's the way it works. If we could we look at the scripture, please? And I just wanted to go through a few things. Number one is I was always taught in this church that you try to set the, what is it like back there? What is it like back there? And one of the things you remember is that this is the first post-resurrection appearance of Jesus. Maybe the second, I'm sorry. And so what happens is that the people that have just had all of their hopes, their desires, their passions, their feelings, have now dashed as they saw this Jesus dead on the cross. That they wanted a Messiah. This Roman government was oppressive. They wanted someone to rid them of these Romans. They wanted them to take away the iron fist that they would come on. And so what would happen is that they were waiting for anyone that would be able to save them as the Messiah. And so as they put, many of them put their hopes into what would happen with Jesus, what they saw was He was going to be the military Messiah. He was going to be the one who's going to come in the white charging horse. He was going to get rid of the Romans. He was going to get rid of all of the enemies of God. And that they would be able to set up the kingdom of Israel again, and that Jesus was going to be king over that. But our Lord, the God that we love, the God that we serve, had a different plan. And that plan was that He would be able to go to the cross so that He could die for our sins. He came as the suffering servant so that we would be able to have life in and through Him. That we could have forgiveness of our sins. But they couldn't understand that message. They couldn't understand what was happening. They saw the miracles. They heard the teaching. But there was just something that had them on this rigid idea that somehow, some way, that Jesus was going to be the ruler of all of just Israel. That was the temptation that was given to Jesus back in the temptations with the devil. They said, I can give you all the kingdoms of the entire world if you just fall before me. But Jesus said, no. Because the way of the cross was the only way that was going to be for salvation. So I want you to think like you're one of these people, especially these two that are here. And as they're walking along, they're trying to go someplace. They're going to Emmaus. Now, I did a little map quest. You know, I'm starting to get good with a computer. So I figured out that it's 7 miles from Williamstown to North Adams, right? Is that right? So that takes a little while to be able to get onto this journey. We don't know why they were going. We don't know what purpose, but they were shocked by the events. All of a sudden, Jesus dies on this Friday. All of a sudden, that he's buried and dead in the tomb. And all of a sudden, they're now on this road to Emmaus. One of the things that Sandy and I like to do is that whenever we go on a trip, a long trip, it keeps us a time to just be able to talk, and we call it debrief. We just talk about everything that is there that we haven't had time to do, because life gets so busy. If we don't have the time to connect, if we don't have the time to talk to each other, to really listen, what happens? We just speed by. So this was a time for these two, as they were walking these 7 miles, to kind of debrief and to debrief with everything that they were feeling. So as they're walking along this 7 mile journey, one of the things is that they're trying to debrief, and all of a sudden a stranger comes up to them. Now, I don't know how you guys feel about strangers. You know, one of the things that was with us in the Philippines is that you sometimes always had to be on guard. You weren't sure if someone was coming to try to get up on you or try to get over on you. But in this culture, what they were doing is they were just all walking together. You've had it happen to you yourself. Maybe you've gone to an airport, or maybe you're at a bus terminal, or maybe you're just waiting at a doctor's office, and someone who you don't even know just strikes up a conversation and starts telling you the deepest secrets of their life. It's sometimes unnerving to be able to hear that. So all of a sudden, they're talking about the things of life, they're talking about how these things are occurring, and all of a sudden, this stranger, who they don't know, comes up and says, "What were you talking about? What were you talking about?" So what their eyes at is downcast, right? Because they probably thought, well, as disciples of Jesus, we're supposed to be truthful and honest, and okay, all right, we'll do that. And so, okay, that's a social cue. So, okay, yeah, all right, we were talking about, you know, the things that had just happened in Jerusalem. To some of you people, what this does is it kind of sets up a barrier, right? If you said, yeah, we're talking about these things. It's like the things of the news. But what Jesus does, and he always does this, he goes deeper than what people are really aware or able to go sometimes. And so he goes, the person, the Cleopas, says, "Are you not the only person that knows what's been going on in Jerusalem? Haven't you seen or haven't you heard of it? What's the matter with you?" The best defense is a good offense. So he wants to be able to come back at him and say, "Don't even, you know, you should know about this." And Jesus said, "Well, what was it I should know about?" That allowed a social cue to allow Cleopas to go a little bit deeper. And as he went deeper, he started to give the facts of the case. And what was the facts? That Jesus was a powerful prophet in word and deed. That he did mighty things in the name of God. And then he was, you know, sentenced by the Jewish rulers and authorities. He was sentenced by Pontius Pilate to death. And that he had death on the cross. That's the facts of the case. Right? He could say that this was the facts. And then what happened is they went a little bit deeper, because now they're starting to get a little bit more intimate with Jesus. And they said, "You know what? But also, something happened today that really was kind of strange. That these women came to the tomb and they said that they saw him. The stone was rolled away and that they saw him." Now, what's kind of important here, and I'm sorry for any of the women in the audience, that you may hear this and say, "Oh," but back then, it was, well, the testimony of a woman was not valid. It was not considered valid. It had to be said that a man was also aware of this, and when he said it, it was good. Sexist, but yeah, that's the way it is. So what happened is, as they said that, they said then. This Peter and John ran to the tomb, and they said that they saw it too, that somehow Jesus has appeared. So what that did is that it was a social cue that told them that, yes, indeed, that there was some way that they were in relationship. And it's Jesus who, you know, kind of strong to them, said to them, "How hard of heart you are to understand." He had been with them for 3 years. He taught them everything. He told them everything. But it seemed like they couldn't hear. And since they didn't recognize who he was, he went through all of the law, all of the prophets, and saw how it all knit together. We need to know this book. This book is what helps us understand how God has a relationship with each one of us. If we don't know this book, we can't trust on just the experience that someone had. When God revealed in His Word what He was going to do, He was saying that, yes, indeed, that He was going to send a suffering servant. Yes, indeed, that this person was going to die for the sins of everyone, and that there would be new life that would come in through Him. For us, we have people that come up to us all the time, maybe in that doctor's office, maybe in that airport, maybe in that cab ride, and as they talk to us, we've got to know this. So that when we know this, we will be able to share that, yes, indeed, God has not only changed my life, but He's changed others' lives, and there's a purpose that is in your life. See, we have to become unafraid to know that in relationship, that's how a person comes to know Jesus. There's been a couple of studies that have been done that have said about people who are young, and they say, they're not interested in the gospel. That isn't true at all. People who are young are interested in the gospel, but what they want is authenticity. They want to know that you really believe this. That this isn't just some show. This isn't some glam. This isn't just some, you know, posture that you put. That you understand that Jesus came into your life and He changed your life. There's no certain way that you're supposed to do it. There's no other way that you can say, well, you know, I have this certain rote memory of a way to be able to do it. If that works for you, fine. But what has worked for me and for many others is that your heart, if it's been changed by Jesus Christ, you've been changed. That's what people want to see. They want a part of that. We were meant to be able to be people that are connected to each other. If we are not connected to each other in the Lord, what happens is we become isolated, we come away from people. That's why I think it's so important that when Jesus used this passage, when He was in this scene, what He did is He explained it to these two people while in relationship. You need to be in relationship with others. And what happens sometimes, and I know I do it in my own life, is that there's sometimes that I put my own personal blinders on and say, wow, gee, I can't do this or I can't do that. The fact is Henry Blackaby had this wonderful Bible study series called Experiencing God. And what he said was, is God is always at work around you. You just need to be able to have your eyes opened to be able to see it. And when you see it, to be involved with it. The God that we love, the God that we serve, wants us to be able to use the gifts that He gave to us and allows us to be able to be testimonies of His faithfulness, His goodness, His love. Now, some of us don't always have this wonderful rejoice by rejoice experience. I'm not sure many people do. That there are sometimes hard times. There's sometimes broken times. There have been times that I've been broken. There have been times that all of us have felt trials and tribulations. But you know what? You can't hide that from someone else. You can't try to say that that doesn't exist. Because what happens is that God will work through even the most difficult things that you have in your life. When you have something that is so hard, so terrible, that you feel that you can't deal with it, if you bring it to God and you ask God to be able to take it and change it, He will. The God that we love, the God that we serve, is the one that restores things. He takes and makes new things that were not new before. Things were broken, things that were in ashes. He takes it and He makes it new. And so what Jesus did is He showed this to Cleopas and his friend. And He said to them that this is what was going to happen. And He walked them through what the gospel was all about. He walked them through what this word was all about. So then finally, as they're nearing the destination, this is another thing I love about Jesus. Jesus does not push Himself on you. What Jesus does is He wants to be invited by you. So what He did was, and I think it was kind of funny, it says He acted like He wanted to go further. And they said, no, why don't you stay and have dinner? It's late. Why don't you have dinner with us? It's very, it's a big custom in the Middle East that you don't just let somebody out on the road at night. That, you know, robbers could come about them, all sorts of hard things could come. So, stay, come, be with us. And as they were there, one of the things that happened is that he broke the bread and he gave thanks. And that's when their eyes were opened. God wants to open your eyes. He wants you to open your eyes to the things that you see around them. Don't say, well, I'm praying for ministry that would be 400 miles away. I know that God is going to send me to do that. He doesn't do that. Don't pray, God, if you give me $1 million, then I'm just going to do it and I'm going to give it well to you. He doesn't do that. I've tried. So the issue is that when you come to God, you're asking him, Lord, what do I see around me? It may not be attractive. It may not be something exhilarating or exciting. But what it is it's what he wants to do. He wants to use you to be able to help someone else. When you're going through a struggle, you're going through a hard time, then he wants you to be able to use that in someone else's life so that they can empathize with you. You can empathize with them. For me, it's somewhat what Brendan Manning says, that all we are is beggars telling other beggars where to find bread. So as we come to that part, we need to understand that God uses our lives. He uses the purpose to be able to open our eyes to what he's doing. And finally, as I close, one of the things I wanted to share was the fact that when Jesus and Cleopas and this other man, I don't know his name, as they were going along and after they recognized them, what did it say? It said, were not our hearts burning as we walked along the road? If you have God in your life, if you are walking with Jesus in your life, you feel that burn. You feel that spirit. You know that that spirit tells you what to do. You know that that spirit is in trying to be your conscience to be able to share. This is what you should have to be able to do. He wants to use your gifts for his purposes on this world. So what I just want to share is that you need to be open with the gifts that God has given you. You need to be aware that God will use you and change you and make you into the person that he wants you to be. And he will use you as an example to someone else. As our eyes are open, spirit knows spirit. A couple of years ago, I was a wonderful blessing from God. We were trying to get our first house. And I was recommended to this guy, Artie, and he was going to be my mortgage guy. And so as we were talking, there's all these social cues that started going up. As he said something and it seemed like that meant something else. And I just got this feeling. I can't tell you even why it was here. But I felt he was a believer. And what happened is he felt that I was a believer. And here we are. We started to share each other. He goes, well, I go to Grace Chapel. And I said, oh, missionary, blah, blah, blah. So we go back and forth and we had the best time not talking about mortgages, but be able to talk about what God did and what God is continuing to do. He does that. Your spirit knows. The spirit that is in you, that Jesus has changed you, the Holy Spirit that's there, knows the spirit in someone else. So trust that. He does not want you to be isolated. He wants you to be a believer that loves him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. He wants you to be able to love each other well. So in order to do that, it means that we have to have our eyes opened. It means we have to look to what is God saying to us, how he's going to be able to use us, and allow ourselves to be used by him. We are all on that Boston Marathon road. We are all in that endurance test of what God is going to do in our lives. And the only way that we're going to be used well by Jesus is if we allow him, number one, to do it. He is just like Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, I will open up and I will come in and sup with him and he with me. The God that we love and the God that we serve wants to be invited by you. So take the time to be able to invite him in. He has a much better plan than you ever put together for yourself. And he wants to be able to have you come to a place where you know him in deep and meaningful ways. We're about to share communion. This is one of the best things that God ever did. These two disciples understood that it was Jesus because of the way he broke in the bread. The reason? Because spirit knows spirit. And because their eyes were open. Let's have our eyes open to the things that you see today. The things that you see in your life. Maybe you said, well, this person is so stubborn. He's never going to do it. No. ask God to be able to change the heart of even that person. Let's pray. Lord, you're good, you're faithful, and you have a purpose for our lives. God, I pray that you would take us and change us to be the people that you want us to be. And I pray, Father, that we would be open to the things you put before us. For I ask this in your precious name. In the name of Jesus. Amen.